they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's do this. What's going on? Good afternoon, everybody. Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. Yes, cousin Nick Friedell is going to be in the building. He is going to hang out with us in studio for an entire hour from 3:45 to 4:45. And then, obviously, we're going to be leading into the Golden State Warriors in Minnesota. So there's going to be a whole lot of Dubs. And, obviously, that's what we were just talking about. But with Greg Cosell an hour away, I'm sorry. I've been sitting on this for 48 hours, and I got to get it off my chest.
Okay.
Y'all still want Sam Darnold?
Well, I mean, that seems like prisoner of the moment.
Does it?
Well, anybody who wanted him over Brock Purdy, go ahead and light up the phone lines. You won't, because those people were lunatic fringe. Honestly, people who wanted him over Brock Purdy.
Is Brian Baldinger is lunatic fringe?
Well, did he say, well, I guess he said weeks ago.
He said in December, I'd flip him for Sam Darnold.
Well.
Which is not even possible. We laid that out, and I know that Brian, that's using his exact words, and that's not what he meant. And he came on the station on yesterday morning, and sort of was like, well, here's what I was kind of meaning at the time.
Right.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Well,
to walk it back a little bit. And yes, my question is leading.
It's loaded, yeah.
And loaded and all of that stuff. But it goes to a conversation that I think a lot of us were, and you and I, we had on Monday prior to Sam Darnold going out there. And it's what I wonder, and it's this. Do we all really just... Do we make up our minds about people based on the last moment you saw them? It's as if you and I, sitting here in this room, I'm just going to ignore the fact that how many years have I known you?
Oh, probably 24.
All right, but I'm making my mind up based on what you do today.
Yeah, you can. You're allowed to.
You got no nothing built up with me, dog.
Yeah.
So you better be good today, because if you're not... I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sit with my family at dinner time, and I'm going to be like, I don't know about this Dibs guy.
Yeah.
I think I might flip him for Darnold.
It's been at least 2 decades. I'm trying to think about the exact time, but for sure 2 decades, a clean 2 decades, but I do think it works. Also, as we're judging Sam Darnold, and Grandy and I on the show thread had a little back and forth about, because I threw out the glib comment of, well, Sam Darnold's lost tens of millions of dollars. And
he probably did.
Yes. Now,
I'm not worried about him, but you know,
I'm not either. And the idea of Justin Herbert is a little different because Justin Herbert already has his contract. And so, you know, whatever he does, and I know he's thrown 7 picks in his 2 playoff games. And so it hasn't gone well for Justin, but he's paid in full. Sam Darnold was in a prove it situation, and he sure did for the majority of 15 weeks. It reminds me a little bit of Jan Vandeveld and the Open Championship at Carnoustie so long ago
pull.
When he had a 3-stroke lead going to 18, and he made a triple bogey and went to a playoff and lost to Paul Laurie, I believe.
Oh, good pull.
Paul Laurie.
There was a three-way playoff, I think.
I'd have to check
won
that.
It. Laurie
won
Laurie,
it for sure.
Laurie, whatever.
It was a little bit like Darnold where the dude had the lead going to the 72nd hole. Just don't screw up in the playoffs and you're a made man. And he kind of did.
And he kind of did. But I'm going to use Monday and that football game to actually sort of make the point go both ways. In other words, I'm not going to sit here because he was bad on Monday and in the last game of the year against the Lions, too, by the way. I'm not going to use that and suddenly be like, Darnold sucks. Because Darnold was really good this year. He had a phenomenal year. And I will not take that away from him. But what's funny is he actually has been in the league for like 5 or 6 years. And we've known that there are flaws there. We've known that all along, and that's the problem I had with this conversation from the jump. Yes, they're both still young players, but Brock Purdy has been here for 3 years, and most of the time, he is person A, and that's the person I want. And Sam Darnold has been here for like 6 years, maybe even seven. How many years has Sam Darnold been in the league?
I think this is now six. That sounds about right.
I mean, he had the whole rookie contract, with I think went, you know, from the Jets to the Panthers.
It's year seven.
Okay,
you're right. Yeah, year seven.
Okay, he's been here for 7 years.
Four teams,
and most of the time he's been person B. So it was wild to me to get to week 15 in the National Football League and suddenly have a conversation about Brock Purdy and the man who backed him up the year before. It was absurd. It was absurd.
Yeah, agreed. I said it then, and I say it even more confidently now that we saw what Sam Darnold did. And a lot of this comes down to everything we always discuss on Sports Talk Radio. Two things. One, system quarterback, and P.S., they're all system quarterbacks. And number two is complementary football. And Minnesota played a great brand this year of complementary football. The defense, with their blitzing and their varied fronts, got offenses off the field. Sam Darnold had the best receiver in football and a really good ground game and a solid tight end. And as a result, he didn't have to go out there and throw for 400 yards a game to carry his team. It was complimentary football.
They didn't get to 10 points, neither of his last two games. They're both huge.
Yeah, big games.
They didn't get to 10 points.
Yeah.
10.
Both on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, just sort of trying to get thrown.
They had the crowd. They had the crowd on Monday.
In L.A.?
Arizona.
Oh, that's right.
Arizona.
Wasn't in Arizona. In LA, right.
Look, I guess here's the question, because I'm not here to trash Sam Darnold. Sam's a good player. He had a good year. I've always thought that he's a good player who needed better surroundings.
Just what happens now with Sam?
Well,
what's your quick blush reaction?
If I were the Vikings, I would franchise tag him. I know that's an expensive number, but it's for 1 year. But I am not going to take a team that went 14-3 and hand it over to a rookie who's never played in the NFL before and just trust that that's going to go well. If I've invested that much in Justin Jefferson, I want to make sure that I've got somebody who can move the ball with him. So I'm going to do one more year with Sam, and I'm going to let JJ actually be on the field, see where that goes throughout the year, and then make a more informed decision a year from now.
The projected tag number is 41.3.
Done.
So you give him 41.3 for 1 year,
yeah.
And I don't know what their cap situation is, but that's a pretty...
Cap schmap!
That's a full guarantee, though. It's easy to go cap schmap going years down the road. That's a big number. But for 1 year, if you still believe that he can be good, I'm with you. You franchise him, because there might be a team out there that would give him 2 years and 50 and 60.
And what's JJ's health? This was a serious injury now. And they know that better than we do. But again, you asked for my snap thought. That's what I would do.
Okay.
That would take Sam off the market. Sam probably wouldn't be terribly thrilled about that. But then you get a motivated Sam again to go back out there and change the narrative back in the direction where it was a few weeks ago. But here's the more important question for us here in the Bay Area, because this is what I heard all over the place and felt to a degree too. I wonder what you think. We wonder what you all think. 888-957-9570. How did Wild Card Weekend in the NFL adjust your thought and comfort level with Brock Purdy? Because every day that I went to the internet, apparently Brock Purdy got better over the weekend. He didn't play, but Herbert played. And everyone went, okay, I'll take Brock. And then Jordan Love played. And everyone went, yeah, give me Brock. And then Sam played, and it was as if everybody showed up with pens. Let's sign him now. That's what it felt like. It's an echo chamber. It's Twitter. It's whatever. It's people talking. It's text messages. I understand all that, but I do wonder how everyone feels. I know you probably don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. You and I have been in Brock's camp the whole time. I think most 49er fans are, but I think there are smart fans who are in Brock's camp and still hesitant on the number that it sounds like they're about to give him. But I wonder, how did that feeling adjust from Saturday to Monday?
It should have calmed you down for the anti-Brock camp because you just mentioned it. Justin Herbert, who 9 out of every 10 NFL experts or fans would put Herbert above Purdy on your quarterback rankings, and I'm okay with it. I'm not against that.
Oh, I am too.
And
I probably would take Herbert over Purdy.
Well, he threw 4 interceptions. And yeah. Sam Darnold was the flavor of the month, and he had a bad game. And you can even add in Baker Mayfield, who was unable to get his team across the finish line in a game against Washington that they had every chance to win. So,
totally.
You know, you look at Brock and Brock's year, and I've always said this when people ask me about Brock Purdy, he's not as good as last year and he's not as bad as this year. And I say bad in air quotes because I don't think he was that bad.
He wasn't.
The real Brock Purdy probably lives between last year and this year. Last year was so amazing on so many fronts. You can't really expect him to do that year in and year out. That to me is unrealistic. And this past year, he made more mistakes than he did the year before. He had less around him. And I don't think that he is as bad, air quotes, as he was this year either.
I mean, I agree with you, though. I would adjust at least my thinking a little bit. I think that, you know, who's the real Brock Purdy? Both of them. They're both within his realm. And a lot of it does have to do with what's going on around him. And some of it may have to do with that he is still a young player who you hope is still ascending and getting better and all of those things. But that's maybe... maybe that is the entire spectrum of Brock Purdy, actually. I mean, you would argue, at least numbers-wise, the Super Bowl year, you would never ask for better than that. It was like one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Yep.
And then last year, there was so much going on around him that was negative, where if that's his floor, first of all, A, sign me up,
yep.
And B, yes, that's going to be expensive.
You hope it's his floor, and you know, you hope that wasn't his ceiling. It's more likely his ceiling and not his floor, but you have his numbers, his possible numbers from David Lombardi, and yeah. I'd like to get into that.
Let's do it. Yeah, so coming up next, how did the weekend affect your thoughts on Brock? 888-957-9570. David Lombardi put a contractual projection together that you're probably going to want to hear. We will unveil that to you as well. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, 888-957-9570. Call right now. How did the weekend adjust your feelings on Brock? This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, before we get back to the football stuff, so breaking news less than an hour ago in the NBA on a trade. Does not involve the Warriors. But what do we got? We got the Hornets sending 7-footer Nick Richards to the Suns.
Yep.
In exchange for Josh Okogie.
Right.
And then what's the draft pick compensation?
There were some second-round picks that flew around the building. I think Phoenix sent 3 seconds to Charlotte, and Charlotte sent 1 second back.
But the Suns saved $3 million?
Yes,
that right?
Roughly $3 million.
To me, it's like, okay, maybe they wanted a big, but something feels like that is step one prior to something Bradley Beal-related and Jimmy Butler-related.
Yeah, that makes some sense. And, you know, just trying to clear a little bit of room so that if you do make another trade, then you have some room. I'm looking at what Phoenix has in terms of size, and they've got, you know, not a ton. You've got Nurkic, a 7-footer. You've got, you know, KD, who's 7 feet, but he's not really a quote-unquote big. So this probably serves a couple of different purposes. Richards is a guy who's going to play about 18 minutes a night, back up big, and you do clear a little bit of money. And Okogie was mostly blocked on this team, a guy who didn't play a lot of minutes for him.
We'll see. I mean, so what's that, Lucas? You think the Suns are expecting, once he gets acclimated, for Nick Richards to start? So maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm no Suns expert, but I do know that they've been the only team reportedly engaged on Jimmy Butler. So we'll see on that. By the way, I'm also keeping an eye very, very closely on the Warriors injury report. We just got another injury report 4 minutes ago. We get them at the bottom of every hour. Draymond Green's the one I'm watching. He remains questionable.
Okay.
Remains questionable. Obviously, with the illness, it's not necessarily There's the back injury that's always there, but he was supposed to play two nights ago, and then at the last minute he was out. I don't know what happened at shoot around today. I haven't heard anything on that, but he has not been announced as in as of yet. Tip off 4 hours away. Warriors live.
Yeah.
3 hours away.
All right. Looking forward to it. Yeah. And man, one of those games that you wouldn't expect them to win, quote unquote, but I mean, they can win. Minnesota's a team that has been really underperforming.
And just a weird team, an unpredictable team. Warriors are 2-1 against Minnesota this year already. Draymond missed their last game together, and the Warriors won by double digits. So that's my mode right now when I sit down for a Warrior game.
Yeah.
That's the noise I make. I shrug my shoulders. I don't know what the hell's about to happen.
You never know.
I have no idea.
Well, especially with Minnesota being kind of that same team. You just don't know what they're going to put out there. And I sure hope Draymond plays so we can get a little bit more of that Gobert, Draymond Green interaction. It's always fun.
Always fun.
Always spicy.
GP2 probable, so he's supposed to be back. Slow-mo is questionable. Trayce Jackson-Davis probable. You know the guys who are out. Pods remains out. That one's starting to be a head-scratcher, isn't it? But Pod's still out. You know that Kuminga's out. Okay, check this out. Does this make you throw up in your mouth? Does this make you get excited? Could be anywhere in between. Here we go. Now, this is not a done thing, but a projection by somebody who is, I think, good on this stuff and in the know. That is our friend David Lombardi, SF Standard. So he did a projection of Brock Purdy's free agent contract extension. All right? Just hear it out. Hear it out. Because I think most sports fans know now when you just hear the initial number of an NFL contract, that's not the thing. That's a funny money number. So don't freak out. But the contract projection that Lombardi wrote about is for 5 years and 305.
Oh, hell no. $1 million.
$1 million.
$61 million a year.
$305 million. $61 million per year. That's the APY, which is not a real thing.
Well, I mean,
it's not.
If they sign that deal, then somebody needs to put down the hippie lettuce down there in Santa Clara.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
You're just kidding.
No, I'm kidding, because when you hear $61 million average annual value, when you hear 5 years and $305 million, people are going to lose their S.
Of course they will. But here's the part that matters, that you know this better than anyone, because you're usually the one explaining it to me.
You're doing great.
All right, thank you. So the guarantee on the $305 million would be a total for the life of the deal. The total would be $140 million.
Fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed.
The no matter what money.
That's what he's going to get, $140 million. Here's the part that I think really matters to fans. The cap hit as to when does this break your back as far as teammates and abilities to maneuver and sign and all of that would not actually kick in until 2028. We don't even know if we're going to be alive by then.
Well, careful. I'll be 60.
We don't even know.
That actually works better when I say that.
So the base salary in 2025 would be $1.1 million, which is what it already is.
Right.
Base salary in 26, 1.2. And then it balloons in 2027 all the way up to 1.3.
The base salary is not the real number, though. The real number is the cap hit.
Right.
Like, what's it going to cost them against the cap?
The signing bonus would be $70 million, but you can prorate that over the 5 years, meaning it's an equal $14 million a year per year over the life of the deal. You've also got option bonuses, which would be at $8 million a year, but not kick in until 2026. The cap hit next year would be 15.1. The Niners have over 50 in space.
Yep.
The cap hit would be 15.1. The following year, 23.2. The year after that, 29.3. I'm sorry, manageable, followed by manageable. Then in year four, the cap hit is $78 million.
Yeah.
However, as you well know, what can you do in 2028? Well, here's one option. Cut him. That's one option. Another option, restructure. and then again, start prorating things over the life of the deal to create more space. Plus, what is the NFL salary cap in 2028? The answer is, I don't know, but it's bigger than it is now.
It is. It is. And if you got to that point, which would be after three more years, if you did want to cut him before the $78 million cap hit struck the next year, you'd have a dead cap charge of $76
million. Yeah, that's what you don't want.
Prorated bonus that you still owe, the option bonuses that you still owe, those would all, whammy, come home to roost. Shout out Champ Kind. They would all come right home to roost then. But what they're more likely to do is restructure the deal and take it so that when he's owed a $50 million base in 2028, and these are David Lombardi's numbers. Numbers are numbers, but his numbers are usually pretty on point.
And it's just a projection. So even if the numbers are off a little bit, I think the point of this projection is not the numbers, it's the structure.
Exactly.
And I wonder if 49er fans, does this make you feel any better if, forget all the like gobbledygook that we're talking about right now, understand that the idea of 49er maneuverability that everyone's so worried about, 3 years from now.
Right.
You've got three more full seasons of not worried about it. Not worried about it.
Well, just look at this first year coming up, and you mentioned number one in cap space, and I think they have about $50 million in cap space. If he's only going to eat 15.1 of it, and I do think that the signing bonus part of this is about where it's going to be, $70 million spread over 5 years, which means $14 million accelerated for this year with the million he's already making. So if you can just look at it from that lens, you're going to pay Brock Purdy $15 million for this upcoming year. How do you feel about that,
Phenomenal.
Niner fans? Right.
Phenomenal.
Right. That puts him probably in the top 40 of quarterbacks for next year's salary. Maybe in the top 50.
Outside of the top 20.
Oh, for sure.
And whether you love him or hate him, there's not a human being on the planet Earth that unless you work for the Ringer, that thinks that Brock Purdy is not one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL. Nobody thinks that. And if you do, you're wrong. Right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what you're trying to do with your team, you need to have a quarterback, and they've already decided that he is their quarterback. So how do you sign him to where you can maximize, not the Steph Curry window, but you're going to maximize the Trent, Kittle, Christian, George windows, and Fred? You're going to maximize their windows, because if you want to talk about the Niners, and you and I always go back and forth on Super Bowl or bust, and we'll put that phrase to the side, but going into next year, and you've got a 37-year-old Trent, you've got Christian off an injury, you've got Debo really most likely in the last year of his deal because his number also balloons, you have a rehabbing Ayuk making 30, you got a 30-year-old George Kittle, you've got Fred Warner, you're hoping to get Dre Greenlaw, all these other nice, fancy things you want. If you can pay your quarterback $15 million, you're going to do that. So I think this structure, and again, the $61 million a year is going to make everyone lose their minds.
Of course they are. Yes, and I get that.
That's fair.
So Brock Purdy has the largest contract in the history of professional sports or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Outside of Shohei Ohtani.
Sure, that's going to freak you out, although Shohei's not getting paid until all of it. Now, we really don't know if we'll be alive by then.
Sure.
But anyway.
Even if he gets 140 guaranteed, which is what David Lombardi's laying out, that would put him fourth among quarterbacks. Deshaun is one.
Oh, God.
Burrow is two. Trevor Lawrence is three. In terms of guaranteed at signing, which this would be 140 guaranteed at signing, Lamar's at 135, Herbert's at 134, Dak's at 129. Don't even get me started on Mahomes. He's way down the list.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as what his actual guarantee would be, it would not be top of the market. Well, and his annual would be, that would be top of the market.
Yeah.
61 would reset the market.
It'd be number one. Sure. But like I guess the reason that we wanted to dive into this, to sort of take it away from the math that we're sitting here discussing on the radio, is this. This is what I want to say. If you have been cruising around worried that Brock Purdy is about to sign an extension, and that means that the 49ers are going to have to cut a bunch of his teammates and have no ability to replace them, you don't have to worry about that. That is not a thing. The Niners are not going to do that. They are not going to sign Brock Purdy 2 months from now and announce that Debo is gone and Hargrave is gone and start sending out messages that Kittle and Warner are next and have no ability to go plug some of the holes they so dearly need to plug. That's not real. It never has been. That's what's important, I feel like. It is very, very important to understand. If you don't love Brock and you don't want the numbers or you don't want him to be your quarterback, fine. That opinion is all good. What I think is out there, though, that shouldn't be is this thought that the Niners are about to sign him and it means a bunch of his teammates are going to be cut and the Niners have no more maneuverability. No, they won't do that. They've never done that.
Well, really, honestly, they can't do that unless they want to do a terrible deal and give him a $70 million signing bonus and not prorate it. And you give him 70 up front and you have the 70 hit on the cap this year. So he makes 71 this year. And then in subsequent years, he wouldn't make as much. But that would be stupid when you've got all these other contracts, these big numbers. You've got Bosa and Debo and Brandon and George. You have a lot of big numbers out there. And you're going to cut Javon Hargrave.
Sure.
That's going to happen before June 1st, and you're going to need to replace him. You're going to need to, I think, sign a free agent center. There's a few of them out there who will be free agents, and you need a good, legitimate anchor to your offensive line.
Yes, you do.
You need an edge rusher. You hope to draft one. You need a tackle and probably another guard. You hope to draft them. You need at least one corner, if not two. You might need a linebacker if you don't re-sign Greenlaw, and then you start to get into depth pieces. So you have a long list on your Safeway, and I'll see you in the aisles, grocery list. But the first thing you have to do is get a quarterback. And if you can pay your quarterback $15 million a year, you are way ahead of the game.
Well, and here's the other thing that's important. So I think what we're talking about here, because the concern goes, we've watched this, you and I deal in this space all the time, fans and media, all of us, we're just fans. You get attached to players. And we're sitting here right now with our fingernails like hanging on to Steph Curry and in some cases Draymond Green or whatever. I had an argument, with not an argument, but an on-air debate for a day about Dre Greenlaw. Like, yep, my nails are dug in on him. I do not want him to get out of the building. I could be wrong. Maybe he'll never be the same again. But like, we get attached to those players that your favorite team drafts. And so I really believe that the concern has been that if you sign Brock Purdy to a big extension, we're going to lose a bunch of our favorite people. And here's what I'd say. You are. But you're going to lose them when you want to lose them. Okay? You don't want Debo on the team in 4 years. You don't want Fred Warner on the team in 5 years. And you may not want George Kittle on the team in 5 years because they will be old and unproductive. And that's just the reality of the NFL. Fred Warner has already been in the league for almost a decade and is running around on a broken ankle, for God's sakes. And when I see him do media, that makes me think that man knows that his career has fewer years left on it than what he's already played because he's starting to think about his post-career. He's got a podcast,
yep,
and he's showing up on NFL Countdown.
And he's really good at it.
And he's phenomenal at it.
You have that, too.
So, like, that's when you're going to lose these guys, when you want to lose them. So how does that make you feel about a Brock Purdy extension in theory?
It makes me feel great, and it makes me feel like I've always felt, and I'm glad that David Lombardi has put numbers to it because it's easier to look at it in a concrete fashion when there's actually numbers, and these are his numbers. They're not the Niners' numbers, but when you look at the structure, as you were mentioning, this is the structure that I've been talking about that works. The signing bonus, which is fully guaranteed, is a big number, but it's spread out over 5 years. And the average annual, it gets big in year four. And at that point, if you have a Brock Purdy who, as Fred said, he's going to have a bunch of rings and all the rest of it, if Brock Purdy has been good for the next 3 years, then you take this contract and you rip it up and you restructure it and say, all right, we're going to rip up the last 2 or 3 years of the deal. We're going to give you a new 5-year deal with new money, new guaranteed, front loaded like the Niners do to everyone. They did it to George, they did it to Debo and Christian, and they did it to Trent. It's what they do, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then there's this. This is a trick I play on myself, because none of us like getting older. Nobody ever likes getting older, right? Ooh. And this is a trick.
You got a big one coming up.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see if we get there.
Yeah.
This is a trick that I like to play. When you go, like for instance, when you turned 50, did that hit you, by the way? Like emotionally, did it hit you when you turned 50?
A little bit.
How long did that last? I had a buddy tell me the other day that it took him 2 months. And I was like, I don't think I'm wired that way. I don't really care. We'll find out.
I did a show, and I will tip my cap to the great Joe Fortenbaugh, now of ESPN. He put together a birthday show for me, and I had like childhood friends call in, like college professors.
That's amazing.
It was pretty awesome.
Right, but like, okay.
Like beyond that, though, it was like, man, I'm 50.
Well, and now you're halfway to 60.
Right.
Does that trigger
more than that? No, because when you get past 50, honestly, Mark, sometimes I have to stop and think how old I am.
Okay, so now you just don't even care.
No, because now I have to do the math. The other day, I was like, am I 57?
Yeah.
And then we had the whole Dre Greenlaw thing, because he wears 57, sure. And I'm like, I'm not 57. No, am I still 55? No, I'm not, but...
Here's what I'm getting at. If you're 10 years from a certain age that scares you, think about how long ago 10 years ago feels.
Mm.
So if you sat here, and yes, I'm turning 50 next week, but you asked me, how long ago does 40 feel? 733 lifetimes.
Exactly.
So here's why I bring that up. 4 years from now, when this Brock Purdy extension is a problem, do you realize how long that is in the NFL? Go back 4 years ago. Do it. We're in 2025, but actually the 2024 season. So go back to 2020. How we doing?
Not well, I don't think.
Not well. That's the Jimmy Garoppolo injury year, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Or was that 19? Is it 19? 20? Anyway, one of those. But point is the Niners are coming out of a Super Bowl appearance where they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're about to go through a whole rebirth. And the rest of the Garoppolo experience, then leading to Trey Lance, then leading back to Garoppolo and to Brock Purdy, and then Brock's first year, and then Brock's Super Bowl year,
yeah.
And now this, it is
a lifetime
ever.
Yeah.
So terrified of a Brock extension, it won't matter until what I would argue is three NFL lifetimes from now.
Yeah, and that's fair, because if you think about the 2028 team, and who on this current team will be on the roster in 2028?
It's a great question.
And, I mean...
Ricky Pearsall.
You would think...
I hope.
Although
I'm just predicting.
That'd be his fifth-year option.
I'm high on him, man.
So, yeah.
I'm high on him.
He looked pretty good.
I'm big on him.
But if you like Dominic Pooney and, you know, Bernardo Green and Malik Mustafa, these are guys who... Even them, they will have to be extended by then, because they're not first-round picks.
They'll have to actually be as good as right now we think they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at the list right now of free agents that the 49ers currently have, and I could run down the list, but as I eyeball it, there are maybe three guys on this 27-man list that you'd be like, yeah, I want him back. Which just tells me the nature of what you're talking about is true. Football rosters turnover, like a four-year thing from now, this Niner roster, 4 years from now, will include only two or three familiar names.
Well, I mean, you could play a game even. When Brock's extension hits, and then fill in the blank. Nick Bosa will be in his 30s. You will be in your 60s.
Easy. Easy. I'll be 60.
Grandy will be closer to 40 than 30. Is that right? How old are you?
He's only 28.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
But you'll be in your 30s.
I don't like thinking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lucas, how old are you?
33.
Okay. Lucas will be closer to 40 than 30. And we could do this with certain players who we love also. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about the Fred Warners of the world. Debo Samuel will be 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You still want Debo on the team at that hour? Like, Fred Warner will be 32 years old and will be 11 years into the NFL.
I'm looking at the 2020 roster, and as I'm scanning down so far, I've come up with Seven names that were on that team that are on this team this past last year.
Okay.
And of those seven, there's two that may not even make the team next year.
There you go.
They may be gone.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at Bay Area Oil Change. .com. Knockout tournament is back. We'll tell you more about that next. Plus, sort of as we get ready for Greg Cosell in 20 minutes, because we know the Sam Darnold question is going to come up. If you didn't hear kind of the 1-2 punch with our friend Brian Baldinger, where that was in mid-December, and then what it sounded like yesterday morning, we'll actually play that for you as we get ready for Greg Cosell in 20 minutes. NFL Films, this is Willard and Dibs.